Please be in prayer for him and his family. And Pastor has asked Tony Saxton to come and preach for us today. And I really appreciate that. Every time he comes here, he will definitely keep you awake. You cannot sleep in one of Tony's services. He will not only keep you awake, but if you do tend to doze off, he will be right in your face. Am I right? Well, I understand, aren't we all? But it's always a pleasure and a joy to have him come and preach for us. So if you would, sir.
Am I on now? I really need this thing? Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, so I am back. As you recall, I was here a little more than a month ago on my birthday, December the 13th. You had a wedding here at that time, I believe. Well, I know that to be true. But this time I'm alone. The last time I was here on my birthday, Yvonne mistakenly got gifts that were meant for me because someone thought it was her birthday as opposed to mine. And so I got her back and I told her, I said, listen, this time you stay home. I don't want you getting out. But anyhow, I'm only kidding. Yvonne's not feeling well this morning. And unfortunately, oh, thank you. Oh, that's better. Unfortunately, neither is my daughter Teresa. She had a real bad problem with her back yesterday, and I've been praying all night, Lord, please give her favor because we need that woman. And so she told me today she was doing a lot better, but they couldn't make it today. Of course, your pastor's not feeling well, so I'm the Lone Ranger today. But I will try to be a blessing to you, even as you always are for me. Father, I just come before you now in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You said in your word, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, you said that you gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, of the edification of the body of Christ. And so we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And we come to a place of perfection, of Christ-likeness, Lord, being the children not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine by those who lie in wait to deceive. Until, Lord, we grow up in him in all things, and until the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God, that's why I'm here today. I certainly don't feel worthy. You already know that, because I'm not. But Lord, I count it a privilege to be asked to come in today and to come alongside of my brother and my pastor, Brother Shear, to help him to perfect the saints today. Would you do that through me today, Lord, by your spirit? And by faith, I'll trust you that you will, that you can. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. As is my custom, I'd like to open with a song that coincides with the message today. Of course, you can tell the way I dress that I'm a bit old-fashioned. Amen. But I can't help but to be who I am. Amen. I don't apologize for that. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me, and he ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Amen. We live in troublous times, don't we? Come on now. Come on, somebody. Help me out here. Amen. Last time I was here, I preached a message on perilous times. I entitled it Perilous Times. I just want to kind of review real quickly because I want to keep with the same theme that we had last time I preached here. Beloved, according to Philippians 4:4, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to rejoice in the Lord always, not only when things are going well, but also in perilous, risky, or dangerous times as well. Here's 10 reasons why and how we can rejoice according to Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 23. And we talked about because of the presence of God, the peace of God, the perspectives of God, the providence of God, the preeminence of God, the power of God, the provision of God, the pleasure of God, and the promises of God and the people of God. Amen. So these are kind of like the notes that I had last time. And, you know, I just wanted to come by and encourage the congregation as we started going into the new year in reference to having the right attitude, making sure that we had the right attitude going into the new year. Amen. Even though these are perilous times, the Word of God tells us that, you know, prophecy speaks of that. And there's enough verses in the Bible prophesied in the Word of God. And you guys are well versed in the Word of God. You know the signs of the times, don't you, Jason? We do live in perilous times. There's no question about that. And, you know, we need to be careful to encourage ourselves in the Lord, you know, realizing that as times get harder and harder, just evidence of the fact that Jesus is coming back soon and very, very soon. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so in keeping with that theme, in reference to perilous times, I just want to stop by once again to try to motivate, challenge, and encourage it. You know, as times are tough. You know, I know there's a lot of folks that are overly concerned about the new administration that we have in the White House. How many of you know that Trump is not the savior? Amen? I mean, you know, and I don't mean to mock him. You know, he did some great things. He really did. More than what you'll see in the media. Amen? But I hope he gets saved if he's not. Amen? We all need a Savior. And we do live in perilous times. And because of that, we have to be careful not to be overwhelmed, not to get caught up in that whole spirit of men's hearts failing them for the fear of the things that are coming on the earth, things that we're going through already. You know, how many of you are sick and tired of this COVID thing, man? I mean, look, my goodness, you know, and it doesn't seem like it's getting a whole lot better. And I don't want to be a preacher of doom, but I got to tell you the truth. I don't know. I think we understand less about it than more about it. I don't know. But I do know this, that God is sovereign. Amen. And we talk, and where God tells us enough to know that God will use pestilences to bring about judgment to accomplish his purposes. Amen. And so that's the way I'm looking at that whole thing. But, you know, even with all that in mind, I want to encourage you and to be encouraged. And once again, I believe this message is meant more for me than it is you. And so bear with me. Amen. You know, in a word, the title of the message today is Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And I really need your help with the message today. And I'm serious about that. I'm going to ask you, and I hope you would respond a little bit quicker than you did when my brother asked you, in reference, what are you looking forward to? Amen. When Jesus comes back. But what does it mean to be overwhelmed? I know some very intelligent people in this church, and even teachers and that sort of thing. But I just need a few people just to help me out with this. What does it mean to be overwhelmed? Could you define that for me? Overwhelmed. Someone speak out for me. John, thank you, John. Too much on your plate. Okay. That wasn't really intelligent, intellectual, but that was true. What was that in the back, brother? To feel oppressed. To make you real tired. Falling apart. Somebody else over here. Jace. Hold it off for dear. Anybody ever been to somebody else? Not thinking clearly. Wow, you know what? I don't need to preach this because you're already familiar with this whole concept. What it means to be overwhelmed. Is anybody else? Did I miss somebody? Burned out. Like you're going under. You know, some of these are effects of being overwhelmed. Amen. You know, but let me give you my 2 cents here. It means to be covered over completely. Amen. Be overthrown or to be overtaken or to overcome by something, a more superior force. How's that work? Now, let me ask you this. I didn't hear any of this, but, you know, a lot of times when we think about being overwhelmed, we think of the negative aspect of it. Amen. But, you know, being overwhelmed can be positive or negative, depending on the emotion that we go through during the times of being overwhelmed. For example, you can be overcome or overwhelmed with joy. Amen. But you can also be overwhelmed with sorrow. Amen. And like I said, I don't mean to be a preacher of doom, but in keeping with the theme concerning perilous times that we live in today, I want to preach I'm being overwhelmed in respect to this, because this is prophetic. We live in a day and an age, and I said this earlier, and it bears repeating again, where men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that are coming. And in our case, things that are already going on in the earth today. We mentioned the COVID thing. We mentioned, you know, the concern for, you know, where we're going to be after this other administration is taking over. We understand some of the things that they've already written into executive orders and those sort of things. They're not really contrary to Scripture. They're contrary to Scripture. So we are concerned. And we be careful unless we keep our eyes on the Lord. I think of that song, and I meant to sing this song. Let me just say one verse of the song. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I said that I needed this message more than you. And I didn't just say that to be cliche-ish or anything, but it's true. You know, I can get overwhelmed easily One moment when I take my eyes off of the Lord, it doesn't take long for me to go under. Amen? I mean, because we're all victimized by the things that are going on around us. We really, really are. And like I said, I just want to kind of be here to help you. You know, if you say, well, I don't have any trouble with being overwhelmed by the negative thing. Well, God bless you. You know, you're not in the majority. You're in the minority. Amen. I mean, you know, the greatest Christian, one of the greatest men who ever lived, the man that was called had a heart after God's own heart, David, wrote a lot about being overwhelmed, didn't he? You know, not only from a negative perspective, but also from, you know, from a positive perspective as well. But more often than not, as we look at this whole concept of being overwhelmed, from David's perspective, a lot of times we focus on the negative aspect. But God knew that, so he gave us this prayer that I want to share with you that can help us during the time of being overwhelmed. You say, well, I don't get overwhelmed. Well, God bless you. Live a little bit longer. God will make sure that you're humbled by something or by someone. Can I get an amen? I didn't hear that. This side over here, can I get an amen? All right, then. I can go ahead and preach. Listen, folks. Even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was overwhelmed. Amen? When he took upon himself the cup of salvation and everything that it entailed. I mean, you know, we see that, you know, over in the Gospels where it talked about how he sweat great drops of blood and, you know, the things that he went through, just thinking about what he had to go through. The sacrifice that he had, a very real sacrifice that he even feared. I said that once before when I was a lot younger in the faith and people looked at me like, how could God ever fear? Well, he's 100% man, 100% God. I'll tell you what, you take a look at Psalms chapter 22. Where it talks about what Jesus actually went through. And he knew he was going to go through those things before they happened because they were written aforetime. He knew everything he had to go through. And it overwhelmed him. Are we any better than our Savior? Amen. If we're going to reign with him, we're going to have to suffer with him. Amen. So I hope I'm sound encouraging by the time the message is done, because the Word of God encourages us how to respond and what should we do during times when we're overwhelmed. And like I said, for some of you who have never been there, maybe this will help you keep you from going there. And for those of us who spend a lot of time there, we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus and we need to follow the example that God has given us. And this morning I've chosen David's example in Psalms 143. How did he handle this whole concept of being overwhelmed? And so we're just going to take a few moments to look at his method. You know, David is the same psalmist that wrote. Well, even before we get there, so turn to Psalms 143 if you're not there already, and when you do get there. Say amen so I can catch up to you. All right. Because we're just going to walk through this psalm. Be more like a devotion this morning. So the title once again of the message in one word is overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And our text is found in, of course, verse 4. Therefore is my spirit. He didn't say God's spirit. He said my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. So we can see that he's talking about the negative aspect. He's not talking about rejoicing at this time. Amen. But anyhow, that's our text. So let's just kind of go through verse for verse and see how David, how he handled this period being overwhelmed, that triggers depression, anxiety, and stress. And from what I understand, this whole concept of anxiety, depression, stress, suicide is an epidemic proportion because of the fear of the things that are going on earth, and not just in America, but all over the world. How do we handle that from a biblical perspective? I'm glad you asked. The psalmist, David, and from what I understand, is not a whole lot written, you know, in reference to the history of this particular psalm. And John, if you find something, would you pass it along to me? I know you're a Bible scholar, brother. I'm teasing him, but I believe that he knows the word of God, as I do the whole church here. I believe that you know the word of God. So there's not a whole lot I can tell you. Maybe I can remind you of some things here. So David began to pray, being overwhelmed. He said, "Hear my prayer, O God, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications, or my request. In thy faithfulness, answer me." He didn't ask God to answer him according to his faithfulness, did he? He said, "Thy faithfulness." Boy, I like that. "And in thy righteousness, according to your righteousness, Lord, would you please hear my cry?" Not according to my cry, my righteousness. You understand? He talks about why in the second verse. "And enter not into judgment with thy servant," or "don't enter in judgment with me, Lord. Please not this time. For in thy sight shall no man living be just before God." I like the way that prayer began. You talk about humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so he goes for God humbly. He said, "Lord, please, would you please hear me?" I mean, he's crying out from his very soul. He said, "For the enemy." How many of you know you have an enemy? The ultimate enemy is the devil. Amen. The one that we have to deal with on a regular basis, and you mentioned it, brother, is this old flesh, this old sin nature. What an enemy. You know, a lot of times sometimes people are overly concerned about the devil without really thinking about the devil, the part of nature that you were born with. That's your biggest enemy. Amen. Until you come to a place where you start having victory over it, and then he ramps it up a little bit. The enemy does. The enemy of your soul. So he said, "For the enemy, the one who influences us through the world, philosophies, and through the flesh, the sin nature, hath persecuted my soul." And I wanted to be careful here. Because after I was going over this, you know, the Lord reminded me, there's sometimes that we are persecuted for doing right. But there's also times when we're prosecuted for doing wrong. Look at Job. Job didn't do any wrong. He was persecuted. There's times God will allow the enemy to prosecute you. Maybe not you, but me, for what I've done wrong. So in any event, David is leaving us room here to see where the shoe fits. Are you with me? "For the enemy have persecuted," or prosecuted, "my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground." And now David was no stranger to sin. We know that, right? Being the adulterer that he was, the murderer that he was, but yet still a man after God's own heart, because he knew how to get to the heart of God, didn't he? We can take lessons from this brother. Whether you're being persecuted or prosecuted, let it draw you back to him. Amen? Are you with me? "He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness." I mean, you know, we could preach on this all day. You ever dwelt in darkness where you just didn't have any sense of God's presence? You didn't know what to say to God. You didn't know how to talk to God. You didn't feel God's presence at all. Sometimes, you know, God will hide his face from us. Not just when we're doing wrong, but maybe we're doing right and he just wants us to really seek after him, hunger and thirst after him. Said I could preach here all day, but I got to move on. "As those that have been long dead." Now this brother was doing bad, man. He said, "My heart is therefore is my spirit overwhelmed." I'm going to try to remember all the definitions you gave, but just keep those in mind, because I think we already know what it means to be overwhelmed. We're just overtaken. You know, certainly this is not a time of rejoicing for David. Not right now. Not this time. That time will come. There's a verse over, and I won't take time to turn there, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but it talks about how David talks about how his heart, Psalms 44. Let's go over there. Then we're going to bounce back. I promised Dave I wouldn't keep you here all day. When you get there, say amen. Let's go to Psalms 43, because this speaks of it. Verse 4, Psalms 43, verse 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Then he goes on to say, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, David knew, man, by experience, that he was down in the dumps at this point. You know, his eyes, for whatever reason, it was taken off the Lord. Maybe some of the perilous times that he was going through, I'm sure that's part of it. But this is a lesson for us. We're not always on the mountaintop. We spend most of our life in Christian life in the valley. But bearing in mind that there is a lily in the valley. You know, I sing for you last time. I don't have time because they won't let me. But there's a lily in the valley, and it's bright as a morning star. There is love in the valley. There is peace in the valley. There is joy in the valley, because Jesus is in the valley. And there are times while we're going through the valley of the shadow of death. You tell me that's not indicative of the time we live in now. I'm not so sure if I believe all the reports on this COVID and how many lives it's taken. But something's amiss. And there is certainly a valley of the shadow of death out there. It boggles my mind that there's no such thing as flu anymore. Or call it what you want. We live our life in the valley of the shadow of death. And as David, at times, man, you know, we could become overwhelmed in the valley. If we forget that there's times where the Lord's going to just carry us through the valley. Be mindful. Be mindful. He said, therefore, is my spirit overwhelmed within me? My heart within me is desolate or empty, man. I'm not feeling anything. Then he goes on to say this in the middle of his prayer. He said, yeah, but I remember. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse, I think, or I consider on the work of thy hand. Lord, I remember the times that you brought me through the valley. And that's why I'm coming to you now, because I need you. The verse that comes to mind is that one that says in Psalms 107, oh, that men should praise the Lord for his goodness, of his wonderful works unto the children of men. When we come to our wits' end, when we come to that place of humility and we humble ourselves before God, then God will deliver us in the midst of our distress. Is this preaching to you today? Do you need this as much as I do? David said, when I muse and I think about how you delivered me forth, he said, then I began to stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee. I'm sure he's fasting and praying as evidence of his soul being thirsting after the Lord. as in a thirsty land, Selah. You know, when your pastor called me, I'm too transparent, I know, but I can't help it. When he called me and asked me, he said, Tony, I'm not doing well. Could you come and preach for me? I almost told him no, because I wanted to tell him I'm not doing well either. Because I was down in the dumps. But I know the Lord well enough to know that for your sake and the sake of the pastor, in spite of me, he could give me something to encourage you with. Amen. And as I started really seeking after the Lord, he started delivering me out of it. And I knew that your pastor would be praying. I didn't say that, brother, to throw a plug in there for you, but it's true, you're a praying man. And folks know it. But why is he sick? Well, maybe one reason why is God maybe wanted to give this message to you from me. I don't know. But we are in perilous times. And if we're not careful, to keep our eyes on the Lord, we can be overwhelmed by the circumstances that are happening around us. Can I move on? So David, he starts to make his request. And Jonah, I like this portion of scripture because this really outlines itself. Have you ever preached in this, brother? Oh, you have? Oh, shoot, I wish you hadn't told me that. Well, I'm not going to compare. I don't care. Let me at least remind you of a few things here. So David says, this is how he handled this concept of being overwhelmed. He began to pray. He said, Lord, hear me speedily. Oh, Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into this pit. Lest I be like an unsaved person who don't know you, Lord. I know you. That's why I'm crying out to you. Lord, please hear me speedily. Lord, look at the request. Verse 8, it calls me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Lord, remind me how much you love me. You know, because sometimes I forget. Sometimes I begin to listen to the enemy. I begin to listen to the world. And I start to think, Lord, you don't really love me the way you say you do. I need to hear how much you love me. Speak to my heart. I need you to show me once again. For in thee do I trust. Please cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Help me to walk in righteousness. For I lift my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. Oh, I like the way he says enemies here. You notice that, John? He didn't say enemy. He said enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Right? He said, I flee unto thee to hide me. Please, Lord, teach me. I know you taught me already, but teach me again, because I forgot how to do thy will. For thou art my God, my spirit, thy spirit, capital S. Not my spirit is good, but thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Lord, quicken me. Revive me, Lord. You know what song? What a great song. It's a great prayer. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. You have to sing that every day. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Quicken me again. O Lord. Why? For thy name's sake. For thy name's sake. That's powerful. So that you might be glorified. How many of you know that God has a name for every need that we have? just so that we can get to know him in a very personal, in a real way. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Jehovah Shammah, God is always present. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the host of all your armies. Jehovah Jireh, my supplier. His name is his identity. That's why we need to be careful how we use his name. God, forgive me for the times I blaspheme your name. For thy righteousness' sake, here we go again. Not according to my righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies. I can't, Lord, deal with them. Lord, you said if a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemy to be at peace with him. And destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. And not only am I thy servant, but I am your son. How much more? For a reason, it will God be there to help. So I'm just here to encourage, and I hope that I have. You know, Psalm 61. And Dave, then I'll be done. As you come up and grab the cane and pull me off the stage here. Because you might have to. You know, it's funny. I ask folks sometimes, how long do you want me to preach? Well, it's till you get done. I know they don't mean it. I just get real spiritual. But anyhow. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth, Psalm 61, verse 1, will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. So, folks, I'm pretty much done, I believe. Just wanted to stop by to motivate, encourage you. In these perilous times, times where most of us will be overwhelmed. I mean, especially when a lot of our creature comforts are gone. You know, we haven't really had to face a whole lot of persecution that we are aware of in America. And if God tarries, I believe that we're going to have to face more. But we need to keep our eyes on the Lord and be mindful of when the times we're overwhelmed from a negative perspective, negative emotions, to learn out to cry out to the Lord as David did. Even as the Lord cried out to the Heavenly Father, why hast thou forsaken me? God did deliver him after he had to go through what he went through. Folks, we're going through. We might have to go through more. I'm just trying to prepare you. I'm trying to prepare myself. Because some of you are probably a lot stronger than I am. You might have to encourage me. You're here today. I'm not going to assume that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I will say this, that we all need to make sure that we examine ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. Because the Bible talks about how that many are going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't I done this in your name, done that in your name? Haven't I preached in your name and cast out demons? And for some, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You were never a child of God. You see, the only people that become a child of God are those who do the will of my Father. What is God's will? I'm glad you asked. To believe on his son. To put all of your faith and your trust in Jesus. For the word of God says, Thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Lord. You know, and the only way you can do that is by the Holy Spirit. He gives you the ability to recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, to recognize Jesus as the King who wants to be seated at the throne of your heart. I mean, that's the greatest lesson there concerning the King is coming. Is he seated at the throne of your heart? Evidenced by the way we live our lives or desire to. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you want him to become the Lord of your life, you believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead, believe enough to cry out to him, to humble yourself before him, and ask him to save you and give you eternal life. By faith in his word, if you've never done that, come on, David. He'll do it. David, you have to finish that invitation. God bless you, folks. Thanks for putting up with me.